This is the DTV Digest, the podcast that brings you news and reviews of films which didn't make it to the cinema. And now, here's your host, Mike Parkin.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the DTV Digest, the podcast which brings you reviews of films which didn't make it to the cinema and instead went straight to DVD, Blu-ray, or streaming media. I'm your host, Mike Parkin, and joining me this week is Will Bentley.
Hello.
So this is a special episode. It's a little podlet, this one. It's we're only covering one film, and that is the new British thriller called Trick or Treat, and we are going to get straight into it. It's Halloween and Greg Keilty's 45th birthday. Not that he feels like celebrating, though. Henpecked by his wife, sleep-deprived by his baby daughter, Greg is at a low ebb, frustrated by his own weaknesses. Things can't possibly get any worse until they do, in the form of his ne'er-do-well brother, Dan, who needs his help in getting rid of a body in the trunk of his car. Now, Will, they always do say that, a friend is someone who's going to help you move your house, but a real good friend is someone who's going to help you get rid of a body.
Yeah, I've heard that one.
Except I think, in this case, you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family kind of thing, isn't it?
Exactly. And, I mean, yeah, it's just he wasn't totally chuffed with this at all. Not in the slightest. He wasn't interested, but he could see that he felt, this was actually, I thought, one of the best scenes to establish the characters of the two main kind of protagonists in this, or the main protagonist and his his problem causing brother. I thought it was brilliant. I thought that it built, because it was just basically he just looked like kind of aimless middle aged drifter. His wife described him as an ex-raver who'd taken too many pills and he was demotivated, sitting around smoking spliffs and not really doing anything. When his brother comes in, presents him with this massive problem, he sort of gradually starts to see. The script's brilliant, because it starts to illuminate this guy, this character, and there's just so much more to him. And I thought it really built it very well.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because when we do see him, he's just sat around watching David Attenborough on TV. His wife's like, she's so fed up with him, needs him to go and find a job, get off his lazy ass. But he's sort of bought into his own sort of self-importance, hasn't he? Because he's like, I'm meant for something bigger than this, and he comes out with a statement where he says, like, I should be out hunting mammoths. As if he's it's a weird thing, but it's like he's sort of buying into some sort of machismo ethos, something he sort of read on a sort of 4chan sort of thing, But so he's like, sort of strung up by his own self-importance at the beginning. And his wife's doing her best to sort of bring him down to earth. And then his brother comes in and even though it's a sort of very dangerous situation, it's almost as if like it's a bit of escapism for him,
it brings him to life.
Yeah, exactly. But then we spin out from there as well because no sooner is his brother told up and laid this story on him that he's quote accidentally close quotes hit this guy. Then these other two guys turn up.
They're brilliant, by the way. Who's the guy who plays Clarence? The big black guy, the gangster. He's fantastic.
Richard. I thought that was Damo, but that was Richard Carter. I think.
No, Damo. Damo was the former gang boss who they said died.
Oh right.
Damo, because he goes, oh, we're going to see the boss, and he goes, oh, what, Damo? And
oh, Clarence, that's right,
No, Damo got shot.
You really have been out of it for a while. <It's>
like... Yeah, we've gone through bosses.
Been a bit of a corporate takeover.
It's quite interesting. It's not what I didn't expect, because as a character, like I said, like we were saying at first, he did not seem like that. I just thought, oh, he's a bit of a sort of wide boy, Larry Youth, but then it turns out actually he was part of a kind of criminal gang, but they were gangsters, and like that's the same sort of, as you gradually kind of get to know who his character is, you know, that depth is I think just brought, I just think I was really impressed with the way that his character developed, and his brother, the way that they kind of grew just by good dialogue rather than heavy plot exposition. Hardly any flashbacks, just the thing where he tells the story about why he left, when he tells his brother.
You know, we only get that one flashback, don't we, I think, where we find out what made him sort of leave Blackpool in the first place and go to London. Something Damo happened to do.
And he goes off and becomes a music producer or something, doesn't he? He goes off down to London to do that. And then obviously it goes to shit and he needs to come home. And Blackpool as a setting for... And it's basically Blackpool at night. The whole film is set in Blackpool at night.
Yeah, over the course of one evening, basically, isn't it?
And you've got that... It's so weird because it's like, I think if you were, for our American viewers, you know, it's basically... It's like a small northern provincial Atlantic city, isn't it? It was the same kind of...
Oh, that's right, yeah. But at the same time, it's the glitziest thing we've got, you know, for like 3 months, 3 months a year, or how long it is when the illuminations are on. It's the northern destination for the summer with the Golden Mile and things like that. And then you've got the illuminations, which is a huge money earner up there.
It's like a strip in Vegas.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, English.
But
it's that sort of, that sort of glitzy veneer, you know, that the film sits underneath of, isn't it? You know, it's like, well, if you peel this back, then we're in the sort of, you know, the back rooms and the...
Dilapidated poker clubs and that,
exactly, yeah. And the, you know, sort of dodgy warehouses and things where we sort of characters find themselves. Because that's the sort of people they have to track down.
So it's
one thing where your brother's just come in and said, I've accidentally topped a guy, I need you to help me get rid of the body. Then you get pulled in front of Blackpool's biggest crime boss called Miss Ferguson, played by Frances Barber.
And you get
told that perhaps that what he's really done is killed her son because he was about to blab that he was sort of giving secrets away to the cops.
Yeah.
I mean, at that point, I think your bottom would just drop away, wouldn't it? I'd be puking up on the spot out of panic, I think,
She's horrifying. She is horrifying. Mm. And when you sort of hear that, you think, there's no fucking way that's an accident. and it's a trip to the trouser shop, isn't it? I mean,
because
terrifying.
But for some reason he doesn't gross up his brother at that point. I mean, there were various points in this film where I really did expect him to sort of, you know, drop a dive on his brother and sort of go, yeah, he did it, you know. But it doesn't quite happen. So you got Frances Barber playing this, you know, Miss Ferguson, and you know she's got the accoutrements of being a mob boss. You know, she's got this young sort of toy boy on her arm and things like this, and sort of having them sort of feed her sushi or caviar or whatever. It's just really, really, as you say, a good sort of larger than life sort of performance.
It's brilliant. What do we know her from?
I got her confused with Dempsey Makepeace woman, which is a different front. I can't even remember her name now. She's been in loads of stuff over the years, you know, going right back through the 2000s. But I can't think of any, you know, nothing that I've actually seen her in that I can remember.
Loads of things. I was sort of watching her thinking, you know, actually there's a few people. There's more than just her.
Oh, absolutely.
Film that pops up.
The taxi driver is Jason Fleming.
Yep. Lock Stock.
Yeah, from Lockstock. What, well, loads of things. I mean, he's done really well for himself over the years. In fact, we've just covered a film of his called, well, he's in this film called The Iron Mask, which is been marketed with Jackie Chan and Arnold Schwarzenegger on the cover. But the film is actually, even they have a big sort of bit part in the film. But the film is largely about Jason Fleming's character, and he never meets them in a completely separate part of the film. But yeah, he's done really well, done loads of TV stuff over the years. So yeah, always good to see Jason Fleming pop up. And then we got Chris Marshall as this sort of very officious policeman about three quarters of the way through the film, which I thought that was great as well.
I was going to mention that because that completely threw me. That just made me laugh. I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah, because I mean, obviously you've got a bit of experience of this sort of thing, and you got this guy. I thought it was a bit funny that there's a single Bobby on the beat sort of thing, but
Well, on
he's
foot. On
yeah
foot,
on
doing
foot
a
as
big
well.
assault.
Yeah, obviously shows you what a safe place that Blackpool is. But
Well, yes and no.
yeah.
I mean, to put on in terms of how that scene played out, definitely yes and no.
But it's an interesting scene because that's the one where it shows you Greg's a bit of the steel within his character sort of thing, because he knows how to deal in this sort of situation. Cop sort of knocks on your window, you wind it down, look him in the eye, and go, "Is there a problem, officer?" And of course his brother flubs it, but
Really badly, like really, really badly.
I mean, they must have rehearsed that so much to get it that badly wrong. They would have had to revert, really rehearse that,
You
But
managed to sound like guilty, suspicious, and pissed all at the same time. You
exactly,
know, it's brilliant in like three words.
yeah, that's a yeah. So can't remember what he said. Is there an officer a problem?
Is there an officer problem?
Is there an officer problem? So something like those signs, but yeah. That was really, really well done. So yeah, no, I thought that was really cool. Yeah. Overall, I mean, I don't want to sort of go too far into the plotting of it, because that would give too much away. I think, in fact, when I was watching it, I was, as the sort of the clues are sort of building up, I'd sort of set myself down a particular direction for this. I'm thinking, yeah, I bet he's going to do this, and that will sort of like set the dominoes falling at the end. But then it just totally threw me,
Exactly. I didn't expect it. I
which I
really
just
didn't.
thought was really cool. And it ends on this sort of very it's both bitter and sweet at the same time. It's like yes, there's a certain amount of justice, but for the wrong reasons.
I mean, it was really, it's really hard to describe how much it kind of sends you a curveball at the end without it being a spoiler. And I really don't want to, because I think this is, in terms of, in terms of that, in terms of not keeping you guessing, but really genuinely making you think it was one thing and then yanking the rug from under your feet in a really interesting, nice, subtle, not hammy way. This is one of the best films I've seen. I just thought it was really well done. But we can't go into it without basically
Well, that's
spilling the
right.
beans.
Yeah, you guys out there need to rent it and find out, basically.
Without a doubt. I will say though, I mean there's definitely one thing, one film I know we're both thinking it enough that you'd want to sort of say makes you think of this. And I know we're both on the same page with it. Can't say it
I
because
can't
it would
say it because
just
again, it would give it away
give it away.
immediately. Yeah,
Yeah, hugely.
but which
But
is fine.
there's actually several 90s gangster sort of low, not what's the word I'm looking for? Low key, kind of
Yeah,
not noir,
sort of
dark gangster
independent
thing.
sort of thing.
Yeah, there's several that you think this is kind of paying a gentle homage to, I think. You know, like there's things from Go. Remember Go?
Oh yeah.
With Timothy Oliphant and Katie Holmes and all those guys, which I actually really enjoyed. I thought it was really good. There's a conversation in there in a car, which is would not happen and would not be as rewarding and as fun if Pulp Fiction hadn't been made. It's definitely, do you know what I mean?
Oh,
it's
yeah,
definitely,
definitely, yeah.
Conversation, mm-hmm. It's conversation between gangsters in a very kind of English, sorry, no, very British, not English, very British take on it, which I just thought was lovely. I just thought it was really, really good.
It is really amazing.
And there's a few other things chucked in. There's a few other scenes that make you think of things like Layer Cake and, you know, various other, it, like say, indie gangster flicks that came out in the 90s that I think the writers of this had a bit of affection for. But like, I mean, casting, what's his chops as the taxi
driver. Fleming, that's obviously a big nod.
Exactly. You wouldn't do that if you weren't on the same page as, you know, and they were great films. They were entertaining. They were definitely had a British flavour and told kind of exciting stories in a good way. I think this, it's like if this had been made then, it would have held its own definitely. And being released now, I just think, this is really highly watchable and interesting and enjoyable.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not enjoyable because it's a bit...
It's a bit
painful at times.
It is. It could have been a lot worse, you know. But they don't push it too far. It's menacing for sure, and you know you definitely sort of fear for the life of the characters, you know. But it doesn't go gory or anything like that, you know. It's reasonably refined. So a couple of things about the cast. I mean, we mentioned Francis Barber and sort of Jason Fleming and all that. The two brothers are actually played by brothers. So you've got Craig Kelly and Dean Lennox Kelly as Greg and Dan, which is a bit of interesting casting for sure.
Interesting. I didn't know that. Who played the silent nasty one?
Oh, that's a good point.
I was just trying to check because there was a name in the front that I was watching and I was like, Is that the guy from Full Monty? Here we are, Hugo Spear. Yes, he is a comedian.
Yeah.
And Hugo Spear, I'm certain, was from Full Monty. Yes, he was. Yeah, he was the he was like the young hunky one from Full Monty. So I mean, it is like a who's who of you know, really competent British character actors. Who've done like really iconic films and bring like some serious talent. I mean, his bit's tiny and it's actually just brilliant. It's a sort of weird Bernard Manning parody that he's doing.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, and then which then becomes part of, you know, something else while our hero's watching it. And you know, what's Jason Fleming's bit in the taxi, that accent, that's fantastic.
Yeah, because it's not his usual accent, that's for sure. Yeah.
Not at all. But like, I mean, it was a bit. It's a bit dark, and it's a bit. You know, after a while, the gloom is sort of is quite oppressive. But I think it's meant to be. I mean, it's obviously meant to be. You're in this kind of city of slightly brash light and, you know, flash and tacky kind of, you know, sort of buildings and strip lighting and all the rest of it. And we're kind of, you know, stumbling around in snooker halls and kind of underlit sort of warehouses and equally underlit kind of brothels and stuff. And that's where they live. And Clarence is wearing bloody sunglasses the whole time.
Yes, you know, that's right.
How can he actually make his way around without falling over stuff? but it just adds to the charm. It's a brilliant film. There's nothing about it I didn't like.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, it doesn't outstay its welcome. It's reasonably short. I think 79 minutes, something like that.
It's not
84 minutes, so yeah, not too bad. So we highly recommend this. We both really enjoyed it. You know, it's different to the sort of usual sort of Cockney gangster kind of thing. It's not just because it's set in Blackpool, but it's got a bit of a different feel to it. And yeah, it builds up to this very interesting sort of take on the whole thing. So definitely recommending Trick or Treat, directed by Edward Bose. I hope you pronounced his name right. I'm really interested in one of his earlier films, actually called Blooded, where some young sort of some young hunters are dumped on the sort of Scottish Highlands and hunted by some people. I thought it looked really good, so I'm on the lookout for a copy of that at some point.
Okay, so what year
Yeah,
did that come out?
actually, 2000 and something. So, Will, scores on the doors for Trick or Treat.
Definitely an eight, solidly.
Yep, I'm gonna join you on an eight for this one. It's yeah, it is a very enjoyable film. Definitely worth checking out. Or you can find it on your usual streaming media services to rent or buy. So do check it out. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to the DTV Digest. Let us know your thoughts in the comments and tune in again next time.